This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Biggie, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show out.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 60.
Happy Monday, H-Town. What's poppin'? This is In The Loop right here on Sports Radio 610. You got John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and myself, Reginald Atitula, on what I have decided to term a pre-action Monday.
Let me know
if you like that or if you don't. It's fine. Because Cam on the YouTube, as the YouTube and the Twitch are available, mind you, Cam on the YouTube was like, reaction Mondays are always weird whenever the Texans play on a Thursday or a Monday. Mm-hmm. And yes, today is indeed a game day Monday as your Texans are up in the DFW in Arlington to face off against the woeful Dallas Cowboys on Monday Night Football. And I just want to know, what's the excitement level just to start with that? Again, let us know on the Twitch and the YouTube. Twitch is Sports Radio 6, or sorry, YouTube is Sports Radio 610, Twitch is 610 Houston. But also, thanks to 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans, we have the 5-Hour Energy fan line, which goes all day long. 713-572-4610 is the number to text. What is your excitement level, Lopez, for this one against the Cowboys on Monday night?
Nobody lie to yourself, okay?
Whoa, that's some damn different energy to start with.
Okay, damn. Figgy, don't lie to yourself. Reggie, don't lie to yourself. Listeners, don't lie to yourself. A lot of listeners in their vehicles right now driving to Dallas. Don't lie to yourself.
Ooh, drive safe out there.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a straight shot all the way up 45.
It's getting windy too, man. It's really windy. That's neither here nor there. That's the fisherman and me talking. But anyway, don't kid yourself. You're excited. You are very, very excited. It's Cowboys and Texans, only done it 6 times in the regular season. This is the 7th. Cowboys have a 4-2 lead on that, but they've all been pretty good, darn good games.
And the Texans have won the 2 primetime games.
Yes, they have.
In that.
Absolutely, they have. You're excited. I'm excited. We have our expectations. You know, we will be incredibly disappointed if it doesn't work out the Texans' way. But this is Dallas, man. Let's not kid ourselves. You know, I know the Cowboys are not good. And we'll get into that in a little bit.
Wait, what?
They're not good.
You're telling me. You're telling me. Thank you.
Breaking news. The Cowboys are not good in 2024.
Cowboys are not good.
Per John Lopez.
Cowboys are not good. But it's Dallas. It's relatives. It's family. It's friends. It's
bragging rights.
It's really co-workers, ain't it?
It's co-workers.
Bragging rights.
Oh, we got them. They're among us.
Yeah, bragging rights.
We talking to you, Eric, with a K.
Yeah, exactly.
We see you.
Yeah, this is bragging rights right before Thanksgiving.
This is exciting. It really is.
Absolutely.
It really is.
And what's funny is, like, I think less of the juice is about the Cowboys themselves. Cowboys fans obviously factor into this. I think the primetime nature of it factors in as well. Like, I would like to have a good showing, right? I would like for the Texans to be able to display their wares on a national stage. And, I mean, to be fair, right, they did come close with the Lions, but because of the nature of the way that game went, it still left a bad taste in our mouth. I'm really frustrated. I'm still frustrated about that game. I need to get over it. We're into the next game. But I'm still frustrated with that because you were hooping in the first half.
And I got a bunch of text messages like, man, the Texans balling out there. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, hell yeah, we are.
Man, dropped the we on their ass.
Yeah, I said, hell yeah, we are.
He got in that bag.
Yeah.
He got in that bag right quick. And but because of the second half, and like the second half struggles became a national conversation, and what was supposed to be an opportunity to celebrate, hey, look, the Texans are a very good football team, again came to another instance where we had to talk about the issues and the pass protection and this and that. And Bobby Slowick And it really wasn't an opportunity for the Texans to be celebrated on a national stage. Mm-hmm. This feels like that. This Absolutely. Feels like the opportunity to do that. This feels like an opportunity to stunt in front of the world. And boy, do I enjoy it when you can stunt in front of the world.
Yeah, no, look, it is that opportunity. It's undeniable. And I spent some time this weekend with some good, great friends of mine, Captain Dean from the podcast and his wife. That's a house divided, man. Like, you couldn't get a bigger. Oh,
Cowboys Texans?
His wife.
Oh, man.
His wife, Carrie, you couldn't get a bigger Cowboys fan.
Man.
Captain Dean's from Houston.
Apologies.
Big Houston fan. My sister lives in Dallas, not far from Arlington.
Is this the one you like?
Yeah, this is the one I like.
Okay.
And you know, already it's starting. Don't kid yourself. This is big. It's real big.
Cowboys fans are obnoxious too, man.
Oh, God.
Oh, my goodness. I think the last time I was around, well, actually, it was Jackson's parent, I guess.
Okay.
Man, we was at the watch party.
Mm-hmm.
And that was at Daly's at the time.
Okay.
And she was so obnoxious, man, because the Texans was playing.
Yeah.
And she was just like, oh, no, they about to lose.
Yep.
Oh, they suck.
Yep.
And I'm just like, man, what is your team doing? What is your team doing?
Right. Hey, listen, don't throw, don't throw stones when you live in glass houses.
Yeah. I'm like, what is your team doing?
And they got a glass house that blinds you when the sun comes through. You know what I mean?
And she's Nigerian, so she was
nice
and loud.
Hold on. Wait a minute.
Hey.
Well, be careful with the way you're talking right now.
Hey, I'm just saying she was loud.
Yeah,
that is true.
She was just loud for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
loud.
Man, who is this girl?
And you know what's going to happen if somehow, some way, the Texans don't get it done. Keep in mind, now, well, let's go back to 2002. Cowboys were going to roll the Texans.
That was what they said.
Absolutely. They did it. And a lot of people don't remember this. I was covering the team on a daily basis back then. The Texans, their first ever squad. They got mocked and ridiculed and run off the field in a joint practice the week of that game. Like
I forgot. That is right. They had a joint practice.
They had a joint practice the week of that game. And the Texans were humiliated. Like, it was, you know, nobody was keeping score, but it was like they couldn't stop. They couldn't stop squat.
And that's the real humiliation when they could tell that you're losing without any level of scoreboard up there.
Cowboys players talking trash, laughing at the Texans team. Seth, I don't know if Seth, I was listening some, but not the whole show this morning. If he relayed this message, like, there were fights. The Cowboys players were laughing in the Texans play.
Is it a good joint practice though? If there's not a fight, like, I feel like that means the energy's in the right place.
Bad. But yes, you're right. And then what happened? And 19-10.
19-10, right? Like, that is going to be the refrain.
Yeah.
All the whole time. In fact, I do want to go back to that because you did mention that you were covering the team. Like, what were your memories? And, of course, dear listener, let us know on the 5-Hour Energy fan line, 713-572-4610, in order to, you know, pre-act and get ourselves ready for the vibes of what should be the inevitable victory for the Texans over the Cowboys. What are your memories, and what were the moments that you recall from the first time that the Texans went up and faced off against the Cowboys and got a victory?
Man, absolute shock, first of all. Let's go through the whole thing. Pre-game, obviously, that the Texans had not. See, there's so many aspects of that game that were just remarkable. Keep in mind, the Oilers were the last NFL team here. Tailgating was not allowed. A lot of people have forgotten that. You could not tailgate at Oilers games at the Astrodome. You couldn't do it. That's one of the first things that Bob McNair said, is we're going to have tailgating. So the pre-game was like the biggest parking lot party you've ever seen. It was just absolutely insane. Then you get in there, and I remember just the energy and the excitement. And then the Texans were kind of hanging around, man. They had some control early, and you could just kind of, it was like almost like a football opera. You could feel the energy and the, oh my gosh, they might just do this. Corey Bradford, yeah, I remember it like it was yesterday. Like, Corey Bradford with some big catches. You know, obviously, you know, Seth Payne. I'm not trying to pander here. Stud.
He had a great game.
Gary Walker.
Didn't he get the first sack?
Well, he got a safety.
Apparently, yeah, that's under debate every time those guys meet up.
I don't think, did he get the credit? Or
yeah, he ultimately got the credit.
I think Gary got the credit Walker, on the day.
Yes.
And then when they reviewed the tape,
yeah,
they were like, Seth got there. They can't just have a half sack a piece, that we can't do that, or
I hate those half sacks.
And then the ultimate thing. Who's going to score the first touchdown? Billy Miller, with that catch over the middle, gets it done. Then the Texans hanging in there. the big play at the end to clinch it, and then the ultimate payback. Somebody help me out. 713-572-4610. Excuse me. A Texan safety, and I can't remember his name, who had been, obviously they had been ridiculed in the joint practice that week. After the game, he was just walking through the locker room yelling, "Tell them they got beat by Baylor. Tell them they got beat by Baylor. Tell them Baylor kicked their butt," because that's back when Baylor wasn't good, and he was sort of payback on all the trash talk that the Cowboys had that week. It was absolutely remarkable from start to finish, and it kind of gave you like legitimacy right off of right. I mean, you beat America's team.
Yeah, absolutely. Some texts that are coming in on the 5 Hour Energy fan line. 281 said they were in the Bud Box losing their mind, lost their voice that day. Such a great first game. 979 recalls they had to upgrade security after that game. That's why I don't like Cowboys fans. They were just heathens after losing and destroying people's cars in the lot. Oof. Someone said it was Kevin Williams or Lamont Evans. Do those names?
I'll tell you. As soon as you say it, I'll remember it. Yeah,
I'm Matt Stevens came in as on the text line.
I'm looking it up in my old.
Marcus Coleman. Now we're playing.
It was Marcus Coleman.
Hey!
It was Marcus Coleman.
The winner, 346. They said they were 10 years old. It was crazy in there.
Yeah.
Man. Look.
Tell them they got beat by Baylor.
One of the things, and shout out to the Houston Chronicle, Sam Warren, and of course Jonathan M. Alexander put together a fantastic piece really detailing that, where obviously Seth's voice was lent to it, but then also some various other players and people that were there, like season ticket holders and such, when it came to that very first game. And the energy in that building is one of the things that pops off the page.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things I'm really interested in this game is what is the energy going to be like in the building at AT&T Stadium for this one? Because I know that there's Texans fans that are juiced.
They're driving
to
right
go
now.
Up there, that are driving up to go get up there and see what's popping there. The traveling Texans obviously getting in there. Plus, the Cowboys, this is a down season for them. So, how hard are they? And not only a down season, I should say, before I move forward, right? This is a down season after a lot of disappointments in up seasons.
Yes.
So, they're pissed, for lack of a better term. Mm-hmm. And so I wonder, what's the distribution going to be like? And if D'Amico Ryans has any say, it'll be pretty good, because this was him last week talking about the opportunity to have his people turn up.
I mean, everything to us. We can get our fans' support there, and, we can – cause some havoc for them when they're on offense. I mean, if our fans show up like that, that would be outstanding. I know our guys would be very appreciative of that. We've seen that a couple of times in our stadium where the opposing team, their fans have, shown up and shown out and been loud. So for us to do that on the road, we would really appreciate that from our fans.
And the other part about this that's kind of sad, in a way.
Oh, what are you doing?
No. I think it's an opportunity.
You see him? He's about to put this negativity
for
in
this
here.
Team.
No. We're trying to get amped for the game.
I'm not
on a game day.
This is not breaking news. That game is still probably top three, if not number one, overall in the history of this organization.
Oh yeah, but how do you change that?
Do what we think they should be doing.
Do you think it's a possibility that this game can in any way compared to that one?
Not necessarily this game. I'm saying over the course of the season. Get to where we think, you're going to play in huge games.
Hell, sure.
You got Kansas City and the Ravens coming up. You start get on a little roll, upset Kansas City. All of a sudden, things start to get good. Then you get into
some
the postseason.
Big-time playoff games.
No Texans team has ever gotten past the divisional round. Get past the divisional round. All of a sudden, that Cowboys win. That 19-10 starts dropping in the pecking order.
Look, I hear you on that, and shout out to the 346 who made the very obvious, but not, I'm not trying to denigrate it, but it's a good point. Super Bowl, right? Or where you make that plural, Super Bowls, right? That type of thing. But you always remember your first, right?
Yeah.
Not only was that your first victory, it was a in-state rival. It was a feeling of the Cowboys have always tried to talk about the Texans as little brother. Mm-hmm. So there was that aspect. There's just the natural city rivalries that existed long before of Houston and Dallas. I think all those things culminated to a particular game that I don't know that you'll even when the Texans ultimately make it to that point where they are atop the league and they are, showing themselves to be the best in the league, that game will always have a special place in this.
Yes, it will always have a special place. You just don't want it to be number one. You just don't
want it. But do you feel like it's number one because of the Cowboys? If they play like the Falcons the first game, do you think it's
still
have that?
It's for sure. It's because it's the Cowboys.
It's not, part of it, for sure.
Not only because it's the first. How many teams? I think only two teams, maybe three. I know the Saints did it. Only two teams, their inaugural first ever NFL game, they won, you know, in terms of the expansion. I think it was the Saints and the Texans. Only two.
Yeah, it's one of the tough things to do because you're an expansion franchise.
And then it's the Cowboys? And then on top of that, it's the Cowboys. And on top of that, it's at home. And on top of that, it's after the Oilers left and ditched you. You know, that's... That it was special. It was absolutely special, and that's why, and because it's Dallas, not just the Cowboys. Because it's Dallas, that's why even today, you know, the lowly Cowboys. By the way, the Texans were lowly in 2002. You know, the lowly Cowboys.
That's what you think of on the hey, don't get complacent.
Exactly.
I feel
the lowly Cowboys in complete disarray. By the way, they can't run the ball and they can't pass the ball. So, you know, they got that going for them. And
you're telling me they're going to teleport the ball. I got you.
They got to rely on special teams, baby, because that's about it. That's all they got going for them, if that. No, it's a special day, and it's going to be, you know, huge for the Texans. And they need to go ahead and work their ass. They need to go ahead and just...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I was telling some of my homeboys that are still up there, like, hey, man, Detroit Lions part two coming to you, right? Like, that's that is what the... Maybe it's unfair, but that's kind of the expectation I have. Like, if for the get right game, as I have coined it, not just a get right game. Hey, go out there and stun on these boys, right? Like, obviously, for all of the Houstonians that have to deal with the Cowboys fan in their life, they'd be talking that mad cold cash, you know what, for no good reason, right? Like, do that for all the fine folks, but do it for yourselves, because this is a team that has not been able to put it all together on wax in a full 60-minute game. This feels like the perfect opportunity to do that. And so it feels like, man, this is the time to get it done. This is absolutely the time to get it done.
It is absolutely the time, and it's an exciting time, and it's Monday Night Football. That makes it even better. That makes it even better.
And Monday you can make the career series 4-3.
4-3.
And pull it a lot closer to where it should be, and where it ultimately seems like it is going, which is being in the Cowboys' favor. Or, sorry, the Texans' favor. That's a dollar. And then you can get to the point where I wanted to get to this, where then the 713 could absolutely get this moment, or sorry, the 346 get this moment, where CJ Stroud little brothers the Cowboys after the game, like the Bears were claiming.
Oh yeah. Hey, Cooper, come here.
Hey, Cooper.
Come back here.
Let me tell you something.
He got to do that to Micah Parsons.
Yes.
Hey, come here. You'll be all right.
You're going to be in this league for a long time. Hey, come here. Let me talk to you. Listen to what I'm saying. You're going to be a great player in this league,
right? That's right. Yeah.
All right, buddy.
Yeah, I need that. I need that. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610 on a Texans game day. You will get Monday Night Football right here on your home of the Texans, Sports Radio 610 later. But before we get there, let's keep it going here in the loop. Coming up next, let's get to the best of the weekend. There was quite a few really interesting things that happened in sports this weekend, including some top-tier AFC teams contending. Let's talk through some of the best of the weekend and what it might mean for the Houston area. We'll talk about it next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Actually, Big Voice Man, it's kind of a pre-Action Monday as we're getting ready for Monday Night Football up in AT&T Stadium in Arlington, where your Houston Texans will take on the woeful, the lowly Dallas Cowboys, and an opportunity to get their seventh win on the season, and more importantly, narrow the lifetime series between these franchises to 4-3. It's currently 4-2 in favor of the Cowboys. So come on, Texans, go get a victory. But it is a Reaction Monday in this way. It was a good weekend, really good weekend of sports. And I just realized in talking about the best of the weekend, we're not even going to get into college football. We might touch on basketball because the Rockets had a fantastic weekend. But it feels like the big things to hit, a lot of yesterday big-time AFC matchups that seemingly have an impact on these Houston Texans and what they might face when they inevitably win the AFC South and then have to face off against teams in the playoffs. Which of these big games caught your attention the most out of the Bills, Chiefs, Steelers, Ravens, and Chargers, Bengals on Sunday night?
Yeah, it had to be Bills and Chiefs. But in a weird way, too, because, you know, I said it last week, you know, I thought the Chiefs were going to win because that's what they do. They beat the Bills.
They could not keep getting away with it.
And crush their souls. But the Bills in the regular season, you know, might have their number occasionally or do have their number occasionally. Terrific game. But did it sway you in any way? Did it change your view if these teams face each other again in the postseason?
Yes.
It did?
It kind of did for me, too. Yeah. I feel like Kansas City, they're not dominating anybody. They haven't dominated nobody all season, I want to say. Maybe one team, but I feel like they can get got.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's always felt like it's the thing. Mm-hmm. The Bills, like, this is not the Bills that we saw when they faced off against the Texans here at NRG Stadium. That's the thing that feels like is the difference here. You're right. The Chiefs, particularly their defense, is still very good. And you saw some of the instances. They turned the Bills over four times. But the Bills also finding that defense, and then the easy low hanging fruit is that Josh Allen playing MVP type football with more of those toys that he typically utilized. Like Khalil Shakir did not play in that game, and now even more so, I'm very thankful that he did not play against the Texans, because it looks like the ability to get a lot out of this offense. Josh Allen, especially with his legs, which is something that we knew, but Khalil Shakir getting 70 yards, Curtis Samuel getting a touchdown on and being able to get the ball out to him in space, and then Amari Cooper, the addition that they had, only a couple of catches, but big time catches at that. Like that team looks to be a lot more dangerous. It looks like they've done a little bit of growing up and coming up to the Chiefs level, and while the Chiefs have maybe taken a step back in being as consistent as they have been in the past, or maybe just as fortunate as they seem like they've been in the past.
And it was a big game in terms of playoffs for home field. You know, that was huge, because the Chiefs, they probably figure to lose again at least once more. I mean, they do come to Houston, or they do face the Texans.
That's correct.
And so
I like what you're doing right now.
So if they lose and end up tied with Buffalo, Buffalo will be at home again.
That's it.
In the postseason.
You say that for those two teams. Mm-hmm. However, how do you view this for the Texans? Like, watching those two teams, I was like, oh, okay, that's a level of danger. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Did that make you feel like the Texans would have a little bit better of a shot against the Chiefs? Because I saw the Bills and I was like, oh, I don't want to. I'm not going to be super happy about having to see that team again if that inevitably comes.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to face the Bills again. Obviously, especially in Buffalo. But I think the Chiefs, you know, as Figgy said, they can be had. Mm-hmm. And especially by a team like the Texans that play really, really good defense against, Travis Kelce was kind of a nowhere man. You know, they had some, now Pacheco's coming back, so that could be an issue. But they're offensively, they're not quite the team that we've seen in the past. That said, it is Patrick Mahomes. But I would like the Texans' chances defensively in a lower scoring game here.
All right, so that was a big game on the weekend, but that was also a little bit that was in that late afternoon slate before that one. The precursor to that one was an AFC game in the AFC North for the lead in that division that the Steelers ultimately came out on top of in what was an 18-16 victory that looked kind of sloppy. It did not look the same way.
All field goals, man.
Oops, all field goals by Chris Boswell.
I seen that score. I'm like, oh, let me see what Russ did.
Yeah.
Oh, he ain't do a damn thing. Well, he throw a damn touchdown, man.
But he didn't throw a touchdown, but it did feel like Russ really handled, like, he worked that game incredibly well. Like, I think that there was a level of a testament to his ability to be a veteran that, again, points back to Tomlin's wisdom in going with that dude as quarterback, because I think that, and I'll need to get this stat right, like, he was fantastic at the passes over the middle, the passes short, like within 10 yards. And that seems like it's such a small thing, but in this day and age in the NFL, like, making the smart decisions that are underneath the offense or underneath the defense, rather, and consistently getting it to where you need to and being able to move the sticks. Yeah. That is no small feat.
Hey, we talk about the Ravens, though, man. They beat the Ravens. That kind of scare a lot of people.
They shut them down.
Yeah. They beat them all field goals.
And Justin Tucker, Jim Harbaugh flat out said he needs to make more field goals.
Well,
he needs to make those.
Thank you. Thank you. That is absolutely what some of the things that you have to come up with.
Yeah.
12 penalties, 2 missed field goals, 3 turnovers for the Ravens. Why are they
but
so sloppy?
But you
got to
credit the Steelers.
Moments? Yes. Yes, you do.
You got to credit the Steelers.
That defense was true. Defense was a problem. Yeah. Right? It is a problem. That, as much as we want to talk about Russ or Pickens or, whatever else.
The team is coached really good.
Yeah.
Not a lot of mistakes from that team, a lot of defense, and a lot of, those 3 turnovers, I think 2 of them were just kind of hey, man, what are you supposed to do?
Like,
the ball
exactly.
just kind of popped out because the Steelers are very fortuitous in the way that they handle it. Second time this season, mind you, that the Steelers went and got all their points from Chris Boswell. Five straight wins for that team.
Second time.
For the first time since 2020.
That is insane, man.
Two games with nothing but football.
That is crazy.
That team is scary for like all of the gritty coaching reasons. Like not just because, oh man,
we gonna play in the mud.
The mud.
And they do.
Like they made it, so I don't remember who it was. Someone made a note of the fact that George Pickens was wearing all black cleats, because that's the way that they play. It's just all black Air Force energy in this one. All right, and then some other things. Sunday Night Football, were you moved by this?
I thought it was a great game.
Bengals? Absolutely a great game.
I thought it was a great game. You know, big lead. They bite into it. Joe Burrow's playing his ass off. And then all of a sudden, you talk about well-coached. This is not your big brother's Chargers, man. These are not your big brother's Chargers. They are getting it done, and
they did try and charge her though. They let the Bengals get three straight touchdowns.
I thought they was playing the Jags for a minute in that playoff game,
but
they didn't. Blew that lead.
There's a big difference. I mean, they
also got the benefit of some missed field goals. Hey man, I need to go back and do the numbers on this.
Yeah. It was a lot of easy field goals.
What happened to all the kickers? Hey, Kaimi.
Yeah.
Don't be out here with your kinfolk, right? Don't be out here with the rest of the kickers. Knock your field goals.
Let's start off tonight as a new week.
Yes. It's a different week. That was the weekend. This is the week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Don't do that, because kickers were missing all of the field goals this weekend.
Where do the Texans? Well, maybe we can get into this later, but what's the pecking order now in the AFC with the Texans? Maybe after tonight.
Yeah, and that's absolutely a good point. And I don't know that the Cowboys should be something that changed the way you view them.
Mm-hmm.
But if they handle up and do what I'm calling for them to do, something that I have started referring to as a Detroit Lioning of the Dallas Cowboys, where you just go and you put it on them for four quarters, and you put up something like 50 points. It doesn't have to be 50, but you get what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
If you do that, I will feel a lot more comfortable that the new offensive line situation gives you an opportunity to put up points where you're getting past the mental hurdles that are the second half. And now I can maybe take you more seriously in the pecking order of these teams. But it looks like, man, the top of the AFC is tough.
Yeah.
If not like perfect, right? Every one of these teams you could point to and you go, oh man, there's weakness. But that's the nature of football and the parity that is engendered. But man, you look at all these teams and you go, wouldn't love to see them. Like,
no.
I don't love that matchup.
Steelers and Chargers.
And it's saying like none of these teams are like playing sexy. It's like a defensive type of teams. Like,
when the Ravens aren't playing against the Steelers, they be throwing up all over the field this year.
But they're saying like the Chiefs are pretty much a defensive team, which is wild to say. The Steelers are a defensive team. They winning based off of their kicker.
Yeah.
So it's saying like none of these teams are really sexy, but you don't want to see them in the playoffs. It kind of scare you a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And definitely not the best of the weekend was Tyson Paul. That fight that ultimately garnered 60 million households supposedly watched, quote unquote, this fight, but it peaked at 65 million.
Mm-hmm.
It was incredible that so many people were trying to tap in, and it was also incredible that Netflix was unable to handle all of this.
Yeah. Man,
6 million was on Antonio Brown's. watching it.
I enjoyed it. The main event, or the card? I'll get to the confession. It's one of my confessions, but let me just give you a little bit of a tease for 12:20 here. I enjoyed the moment, the spectacle. It wasn't. Did you expect a great fight?
But there wasn't spectacle. That's the problem.
It was absolutely a spectacle. The crowd was just cheering for Tyson like crazy.
Nah, man.
Look, we'll get into it at 12:20, but I enjoyed it. Other than having to go back and reset my Netflix every 30 seconds or whatever it was, that was ridiculous.
Well, a couple of things. The Serrano-Taylor fight, that was the co-main.
Now that was a fight.
That was the real fight. The ladies where Serrano's eyelid was hanging open because of the crazy cut that was there.
Cut me, Mick.
Man, that was the thing. Like, first, stars of the whole card. Serrano's cut man that somehow kept that thing from bleeding all over her face all the way through that fight. And then also those two women just throwing punches and eating them. Like, why? Who needs defense where you could just throw a whole bunch of punches?
They had a round where they threw 200 punches.
That's correct.
Hey.
Which would seem like it was more than
that's how it should be.
More than Tyson Paul in its entirety.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then one stat to let you go before we move to the question of the day. There were 9 arrests at AT&T Stadium for this one.
That actually seems kind of low.
Yes. Yeah. I can give you the breakdown. 4 of those arrests were for public intoxication.
Okay.
One was for illegal gambling.
Oh, wow.
Interesting, right?
Yeah. How did you get caught doing that?
I don't know. Were you trying to solicit
hey, cop,
takes?
I'm on the app right now.
Raise your hand.
On it.
All right, who's got Tyson?
Yeah,
who's
exactly.
Got Paul?
Right, like he was yelling it out like he was at the garden or something.
I'm a bookie.
One arrest for solicitation of prostitution. Where did you think? He thought he was in Vegas or something, I guess. Yeah. One arrest for harassment of a public servant, which means you was probably fighting a cop.
You're talking the yellow windbreaker guy.
Like, one arrest for criminal trespass, which you was trying to, they were trying to
get in the locker room.
Trying to sneak in somewhere.
Probably.
And then one arrest for resisting arrest. So
shout out to
the people at a fight night, because it's not a fight night if somebody ain't fighting in the stands.
Yeah. Hopefully we keep it clean tonight.
We don't need to see
no fights tonight, man.
Good luck with that.
They might get mad, especially if you Detroit Lions them.
I don't want to see nothing in the stands.
I don't either.
Okay. Shade your eyes.
But if it's necessary, if it's necessary to fight, the one thing I will say is, please win, Texans fan.
Yeah.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into our question of the day. Why make it difficult? What do you dislike most about the city of Dallas? 713-572-4610. Or I guess the general area. We don't want to leave out Fort Worth and all them other people that we can hate. 713-572-4610. Let us know. We'll do it next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on a pre-action Monday is what I've taken to calling it. On Texans game day, they're facing off against the Dallas Cowboys at AT&T Stadium for Monday Night Football. And so our question of the day can be answered on the 5-Hour Energy fan line, 713-572-4610. In fact, I ask you, I implore you to answer it. What do you dislike most about Dallas? Or just what do you dislike? It doesn't have to be what you dislike most. Pepperous.
You don't have to say dislike. I hate Dallas.
I mean, fair, but I just wanted to open it up, right? Like, sometimes, and shout out to Payne and Pendergast, they like to do the petty cast. Hey, man, do the petty. Like, get real petty with you, if you like. In fact, my answer is pretty petty. As I lived up in Dallas for over a decade, and I came back home once I had the opportunity. Mm-hmm. And it's good to be back in Houston, if for no other reason than there's actual good Chinese food here. Like, I just could not find Chinese food that was actually
good. I swear to God.
All the things that I've experienced.
I feel like
there.
Every town should have a good Chinese food spot.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That, really? I've never every time I go to Dallas, I've had Chinese food.
Now, here's the thing I will say, right? Like, I don't know about none of that like real upscale Chinese, but I grew up on getting that nice cheap Chinese food, the digit good, right? Yeah. Like just getting, man, I don't feel like doing all that. Let me go get some takeout.
Yeah.
Couldn't find some real good one up there, man.
I promise.
And so it's good to be home, if for no other reason. And there's a lot of other reasons why you could dislike or hate Dallas. So let us know what yours are for our question of the day.
Well, I got three things. I got three things. And it's probably in order, because Dallas, I've always called it a giant glass ranch. It's so freaking flat. It has no personality.
Can we say flat when we're talking about, like...
What you mean, flat?
Compare it, like...
Well, not the women.
Landscape-wise?
No, not the women. Those are all enhanced. The scenery, the vistas, the atmosphere, the person... It's just flat, except for all these glass buildings that they put up there, and they think that's personality. It's boring. It's a boring.
So like a flat personality?
No, the landscape.
Well, I don't know how much you get. I mean, we're talking like about Houston.
Houston is kind of flat.
Houston has the bayous, the Gulf, the, you know, all this other. It's so,
okay.
Of all the things that you can go after Dallas for, flat was where you came
with? But here's the other thing. It's in the middle of nowhere.
That is correct.
Yeah, it's just at least Houston, like I said, has some things, man. Yeah. You know, has some personality, has old neighborhoods that have been refurbished. And I know Dallas can say, well, what about blah, blah. No, I'm talking about, like, it's happening here. You know, the downtown is vibrant. You can go to Galveston. You can go down south. You can, like the you know some of the Buffalo Bayou place. Like, it has personality, Houston does. Dallas is just, it's like they plopped this city in the middle of, you know, a flat ranch and said, hey, let's put some glass buildings up. That's number one. It's the landscape is boring. It's blah. It's ugly. Number two is the people. And this isn't everybody. There are some fantastic people. Like I said, you know, my sister lives there. But you go to Dallas.
Just her, though. Everybody else.
You go to Dallas and have a conversation with Dallasites, and you're going to come across a dozen, at least, at a party $50,000 fake millionaires. Like, they put on airs in Dallas more than any place I've ever been in my life. Like, you know, they probably make a decent living and they act like they're millionaires. You know, and I got this Lexus and this blah, blah house, and I got a most phony, fabricated $50,000 millionaires anywhere.
Yeah, there's a lot of Dallas itself, the city of Dallas, mm-hmm. there's a lot of contrivance all the way back in their history. I actually read a really interesting book about it called The Accommodation about the city of Dallas. And man, there's a lot of fakeness and
they're
niceties
fake.
In there that belie what Dallas often really is.
Mm-hmm.
There is something to that that plastic kind of a $50,000 millionaire. There's a lot of fronting.
There is a
decent amount of that, I will say. Someone said the 832 highway system in Dallas is awful, makes no sense, just chaos. There really are a lot of there's a lot of tollways going on there. And then one of the things that I absolutely hated when I got up there, all these damn circle back entrances.
Oh yeah,
these loop-de-loop entrances to highways. Why? For who? For what? Right? Why can't you just have the on ramp like a normal place would have? Why am I having to have this circle back entrance to get onto something? It don't make no sense.
The 832. Dallas-Fort Worth has plenty of hills with beautiful scenery. You are on mushrooms. Where? Where are the hills and beautiful scenery? Where? And then the other
thing. He might be talking about Austin.
I don't know. He must be talking about Austin. Hill country, San Antonio, something like that.
I thought they did have. I thought Dallas did have a couple hills.
Hell no. And the man-made, you know, maybe some man-made hills. It's just a flat glass ranch.
Why is he so stuck on this landscape right now?
It's awful.
See, I feel like Houston is so flat, too. Like, I'm still trying to get adjusted to that because I kind of grew up where it was hills and all that stuff, too. But Houston is flat as a day old beer.
Oh, I'm not going
to
deny that, but I'm saying like there's things that are like give it some contour.
Give it some life.
I got you. 281, Cowboys fans are delusional. Like there's something wrong with them upstairs. Cowboys fans born and raised in Houston are just straight up weirdos. Can't be trusted. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That person is speaking about one or two very particular people. Not to say that does not also go very very far, but yeah, that absolutely. That definitely points to something. Somebody said the traffic, and
we got traffic.
I was like, I don't know that we can really point to that one. DFW really is though, in different than Houston.
Mm-hmm.
It's just it's a big place with a whole bunch of little places in it.
Yeah,
like it's just there's an Azle and a Flower Mound, and I'm just like, well, how many places are in this place?
Yeah.
That's one of the things about Dallas that's mildly annoying at the very least. Oh, this one came up from the 832. They have stupid-ass dry areas with no alcohol.
They do. Like, you go through some counties. Is it West County? No, West County is the wet one that you drive to from some of the dry counties around Dallas. Like, you're driving to Dallas, and you stop and get some beer or whatever. Sorry, dry county.
Damn.
What decade are we living
that.
In?
I didn't even know that exists.
What decade are we living in?
I'm still
in?
Upset. We can't buy no liquor on a Sunday.
Exactly. Yeah, but that's the whole damn statement.
Yeah.
At that point, you just got to plan ahead. That's what they told you. Plan ahead if you really want to get drunk on a Sunday. Yeah. Like you do with Chick-fil-A. First, I don't know if it's the first time, but not a lot of times that people equate getting their alcohol with getting Chick-fil-A, I imagine. From the 832, only thing I hate about DFW is the colder winters.
I feel like at this point,
does cold winter exist anymore?
Yeah, but they have the weather fluctuations.
Yeah, nah, I was up there one time, and honestly, I don't have a huge beef with the city of that. Maybe I ain't been there as much, but the places I've been, it was actually pretty nice. I was kind of in the Grapevine area.
Yeah.
They got this big old building. I forgot the name of it, but it's like some type of big facility, like people had conferences there and all that.
Are you talking about what is that? Great Wolf Lodge or one of those?
It's not that, but it kind of reminds you of it a little bit. But man, I was up there, dog. It got down to like 20 degrees.
Oh yeah, remember the Super Bowl? I was there for that one.
My car almost didn't start because it was so cold. And then I'm like, man, I ain't know it was snow on the windshield. I'm like, what in the world? I ain't know Dallas get down like that. Yeah. And so by the time I got back to Houston, it was like 85 degrees. I'm like, oh no, I ain't. That's a deal breaker for me, man.
Somebody from the 832. Oh, this is real hate. They said, I've been mad at Dallas since the TV series Dallas. Houston is the energy capital of the world. Chuck Norris will kick JR's ass. Okay. I see you. Let that just sit within you.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
There is just a general elitism about Dallas that is really somewhat, not somewhat, that's really kind of, where does that come from? You know, how did you get better than everybody else?
The TV show Dallas, I'm guessing. There you go. Question of the day. What do you dislike most about Dallas? Keep those coming in. Why not? Somebody said that they'll find out as they're on their way up. They stopped at Buc-ee's. A whole bunch of Texans and Astros fans.
There we go.
Are up there. So they're heading up. In fact, Astros fans got a little bit of news today.
Yeah, they did.
You might have to come up with
it. Did they announce it at the juice box?
We might need to start calling the ice box. There was a little bit of news that... Minute Maid Park is no more. Welcome to Daikin Park.
I'm sorry, what?
Daikin Park.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I said it. Daikin. There's two syllables there.
Yeah.
But that is where your Astros play. Same building, different sponsor. We'll talk more about that and what's popping later on in the show. But coming up next, let's get into around the NFL, where obviously there were some big games, but there was also some other really big performances in the course of this weekend in the NFL. We'll talk about those next.